Okay, we are back. This is episode number 4 with the Gone Rogue podcast because we're fucking gone rogue. I just love that name. I'm more in love with that name the more that we use it. The theme of today's episode is going to be introduced to us by a question, and it was a question that we got when we first put out for questions when we hadn't even recorded our first podcast, and we didn't get to it, so I wanted to bring it up because it's going to be the theme of the episode, and it's the big J word, jealousy. So here is the question. Greg's going to answer it. At first, my husband was okay with the thought of being open, but then got super jealous. Is that a sign that it's not a good idea?
Okay, so I'm going to give the long answer.
We love long answers here.
It's definitely, I think, one of the most common things that comes up. It's the question that whenever I'm talking to people and you tell them about being open, they always say, oh, I couldn't do that. I'd be too jealous. Or don't you get jealous? And that's the major thing, I think, that people associate with being open is, well, surely there's a huge amount of jealousy involved. I think that personally, I don't know whether jealousy was ever the feeling for me. There was definitely, I think there was something, I forget where I heard it originally, and I might have already mentioned it in one of the other episodes, but there was something I heard someone talking about reframing jealousy as a different emotion. And the stuff we've talked about before was around the emotion wheel. Is that what it was called? Yeah. About thinking about emotions in a hierarchy of, you know, when people say, oh, I'm angry, you know, what are you actually, what's underneath that? And thinking about different layers to emotions. So we'll put a link in there about what that emotion wheel is. But that for me then connected to the concept of jealousy really well, to go, well, what even is jealousy? And it's like, you know, for you, can you explain what jealousy, when someone says that, what that even is?
Are you throwing that to me?
I'm throwing that to you.
That's an awful question. I don't even want to answer that question. That's hard. That's a hard question. Like,
okay. Yeah.
And I know where you're going with this because you're going to be like, oh, jealousy isn't really a thing. I think the thing that people, like, jealousy is such a funny term because I think it has like two sides to it, where there's a lot of people that jealousy can be almost like a sign of how much you love someone. And maybe that's the unhealthy version of it, right? Where it's like when they're jealous, it's nice and it's flattering. Like, you know, they don't want to share me, or like they're really protective or territorial, and it's like a flattering type of thing. But it's also fucked up, right? Like, I think that there can be a lot of emotional manipulation with jealousy, where it's like, I just love you so much, you know? But then there's also the other side of jealousy, where what you've just said, where it's like people don't even want to talk about non-monogamy or an open relationship because they're like, oh, I could never do that. Which it's like, you know, the response is always like, well, we're not fucking asking you to do it. But yeah, where people are really like, oh, no, I don't even want to go there. Like, I don't want to even consider it because I would just get too jealous. I actually have a question for you. Do you think that people can, like, you know, some people are like, I'm just not a jealous person. Do you think that's like a true thing? Do you think people can just like not be a jealous person?
Yeah, I think so. Like, and linking that back to what I was saying is, like, for me, like, what is jealousy? And it's like, I think it's that's a really hard question to answer. Like, it's not an actual emotion. It's a word that we've made up, like the rest of the words we've made up. But it's a word we've made up to describe this particular scenario of you feeling this made up feeling about another person relating to how they're connecting with your partner, or, you know, you're jealous of an ex-girlfriend of theirs, or you're jealous that the way they looked at that person. It's like, but if you actually come back a layer or dig a further layer deeper into it, which I think is kind of behind all this, to say, well, if you're feeling jealous, I think it's coming from fear. You're scared of something. And if you switch those words out to say, I don't want you talking to your ex-girlfriend because that makes me feel scared, it opens up a whole different conversation. If you say, oh, because I'm jealous, it's got this immediate, like, jarring thing, and it's almost like you're blaming the other people for that emotion. But if you think about it and say, well, hey, like, I'm actually scared of that, and admit and be vulnerable, and I think that's what it takes. And I think saying jealousy is almost like a way of avoiding the fact of saying, of being vulnerable, and talking about how you actually feel about the situation. You're saying, well, you're making me jealous. No, no, no. You're scared about something, or you have a fear of your partner leaving you or wanting the other person more or whatever. And I think that redefining of what that is the key to this. And then to come back to your question of like, can you be a not jealous person? If you reframe that again to say, can you be someone that isn't scared or doesn't have fears about your partner and anyone else in the world? Probably.
See, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just not be a jealous person. I think that's people that are actually... I think that's people that are like really like to make sure that they're not someone who appears to be a certain way, not someone who's controlling, not someone who's overbearing, not someone who's that type of person that's that jealous type of person. So I think people say, oh, I'm not a jealous person because of almost more like of an appearance thing. Like outwardly, I want to make sure that I'm giving you the impression that I'm not one of those kinds of people. Like that's the vibe that I always get from people that say like, I'm not a jealous person. I'm like... I feel like if you have to say that, you probably are, and you just don't know how to fucking deal with it. So you're just like, no, 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 like I just shut that off. The other thing that I really like about what you said was, I think when you understand the way that we respond to jealousy and you understand it from that, it's almost like our environment causes us to feel jealous when in fact it's not. The environment or the circumstance or the relationship or the people or whatever the fuck is going on, as much as you feel like that is the cause is actually your response to that scenario and your subsequent projection, I guess, of what you're talking about with fears and what I also have found to be a lot of my insecurities. And I really like, there's a quote that popped up on my social media recently that was like, any complaints that you have of your partner or anything that comes up for you with your partner is often something that's highlighting a need that you have. And I think jealousy is one of those things where it anytime you feel it, it's like this little red flag or this little signal of like, oh, fuck, like I'm feeling this feeling. What is that indicating? What is the indication? Like, what is the feeling that I'm actually experiencing that this like pang of... And we don't even really use the term jealousy. Like we use fear or insecurity or whatever it may be. Because jealousy just doesn't even really fit in for us with our conversations.
Yeah. So I'm interested in something you've said because I'm absolutely someone that will say like, oh, I don't get jealous. I don't feel jealousy. I don't relate to that word at all. Like I'm happy to admit, and I have definitely with you before, admitted when I'm scared or when I feel insecure about a particular scenario. But... I'm not someone, I wouldn't say I feel jealous about anything. It's like, because I recognize that those feelings are internal to me of like, hey, I'm feeling this. And I think jealousy is that external expression of that to be almost, I maybe relate it to like a fear expressing as an anger or as a, yeah, reaction to that. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like it's because you just have a deeper understanding of what jealousy is. So like you feel, you experience fear and you experience insecurities and you experience like stuff around what other people would typically call jealousy, right? Like when you're afraid if I'm seeing someone else or when I'm afraid of you seeing someone else, like other people would typically call that, oh, that's jealousy, right? And I think that that's what the term jealousy represents when we use it out in social media or with other people or we're having conversations with the people. We just have a different understanding of that word and we don't use it because we've come up with new words essentially. So I wouldn't say that, I guess what, when you say you're not a jealous person, that's a different understanding of jealousy because you're saying like you're not a jealous person because what you feel is the deeper level of that emotion, of that made up thing, right? That you're saying is like, we don't even, that doesn't even really, it's not a thing. Like that's an umbrella term. It's the same thing that I really like thinking about with regards to anxiety. I'm like, it's a fucking umbrella term. Like what is the anxiety? Is it that you're feeling frustrated? Are you disappointed? Are you feeling helpless? Are you feeling like, are you fucking just tired? You know, it's like, it's such a big umbrella term. And I think jealousy is one of those other umbrella terms. So yeah, I feel like maybe it's just that we don't really use the term jealousy. And that's why for you, it's like, yeah, I don't really feel jealousy.
Well, I think maybe the differentiation is talking about jealousy as an emotion versus saying, when if someone's saying I'm not a jealous person, that's a persona that you're painting of a type of person, not an emotion.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
If you're saying, hey, do I feel jealousy versus am I a jealous person, I automatically think about that person. It's like, hey, no, stop talking that, or who's that messaging you? Like,
yeah, maybe it's a little semantics.
Yeah, and maybe it's like, hey, the disconnecting, well, there's the emotion and then there's the relating as or identifying as a jealous person is maybe different to the feeling of the emotion.
Right. It's almost like it falls into the same bucket of like, oh, the jealous boyfriend, the crazy ex-girlfriend, yeah, the clingy whatever. Like, it's like you kind of have that bucket of like identities within relationships.
Yeah. Well, and if you, because I think if someone said, oh, like that person is a jealous person, I would expect that maybe means like they express that jealousy onto their partner.
Yeah. Right.
Versus like, you know, everyone feels that, you know, the fear or the insecurities of those things versus like, yeah, you maybe by saying that person is a jealous person or I am a jealous person is like how that you actually outwardly express and push that jealous feeling onto your partner and how you actually interact with them.
So saying I'm not a jealous person and giving the impression like, or trying to give the impression that you're just not a stereotypically jealous person. You're just not of that group of people, that identity, right? Yeah, okay, cool, that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah, and I like, because I think if anyone that was open, I'm only talking from a very small pool, but like, you know, I would be pretty surprised if people in an open relationship said I've never felt jealous, scared, insecure, etc., etc. Like if they said they never felt those feelings, I would go, really? Never? Are you sure you've never felt it? Or are you just protecting to what you said before? So, have we kind of covered...
So then, I guess the funny thing about that is people are like, is jealousy a bad thing? It's just a bad thing. It's not good. It's a bad sign. And we should just not do the thing that we're trying to do because of jealousy.
Yeah.
And I think that what ends up happening is what you've just said, where it's like, well, hang on, define jealousy. What is it? What is the feeling? What are you actually trying to express? And then I think the next thing is any emotion good or bad? Because I think people get hung up on like, oh no, that's a bad thing. That's a bad emotion. That's a bad experience. But it doesn't really have any, like, we only make it good or bad based on the meaning that we create around it, right? So it's like no experience or feeling is inherently good or bad. Mm-hmm. Being bored isn't good or bad. Being jealous isn't good or bad. Being whatever the feeling is, whatever the experience is, I don't think we have to say that it's good or bad. It's just another human experience, and we have a lot of them because we're humans. Go and have a look at the emotion wheel if you want to know about some of the emotions we have. But so then I guess the next step for you to answer is, when someone gets jealous and they've pulled the pin, is it like, is that a sign that it's like, no, if jealousy comes up, then don't do it. That means it's not going to work.
Short answer, no. I think just talking about the sort of good or bad emotion piece, I'll mention another one of my like people that I always refer back to or talk about is a lady called Anat Perry. Has some really great podcasts out there and does some really good early childhood pieces and has some really good stuff. And she had something she said in one of her podcasts that just linked to what you said then, where she said, like, what's the emotion you won't let yourself feel? And for me, like, this is a slight tangent, but talking about emotions and like what is good or bad, like, I always had this association with anger being a bad emotion. And I think I just had some maybe bad examples of anger being expressed in an unhealthy way. And when I heard her say that on this podcast, it stopped me in my tracks and went, oh, wow. Because I've always said like, oh, maybe I'm not an angry person. It's not
you're
me.
Like making sure everyone knows you're not that guy.
Yeah, I'm not an angry guy. I'm super chilled. I'm fine. And it's like,
you
wait.
Are super chill though.
And yeah, but also like I went, oh, wait, like I don't express anger very well. And I think I always had an association that anger was a bad feeling and a bad thing that you're not meant to feel ever. And in the time after that podcast that I listened to, for the first times in my life, I actually said to two people, hey, like what you said made me feel angry. Not attacking them, not being violent, not yelling at them, but I said, hey, like what you just said, that made me feel angry. And it was like, oh, wow, like it's possible to actually express the feeling of anger in a not unhealthy way and just say, hey, I feel this thing.
I remember saying to you before you go back to jealousy, I remember saying to you that I was angry for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was so anticlimactic as well.
Yeah.
So the situation was, we were hanging out and we happened to be in the same room as a girl that Greg had been on a date on and like had hooked up with. And while we were together, so it was like, you know, we were open. He'd been on a date and he'd hooked up with her and we happened to be in the same room. And I didn't know who it was, but I suddenly became aware that I thought that that was the girl. And so there was like a couple awkward walk-bys and a couple awkward like moments of eye contact and smiling. I was like, I have a funny feeling that this is her. And then maybe you'd come up to me later or I'd spoken to her first, perhaps.
No, not at that point.
So at some point you were like, hey, that's her or something.
You'd ask me if it was.
Yeah, okay. So I got suspicious and was like, hey, is this the girl that you went on a date with? And you were like, yeah. And then I was like, okay, well, you probably should have told me that before we were in the room together, like, or at least when you realized that we were in the room together, maybe you should have brought that up. And then I think I walked off and was doing something else and you came over and you're like, hey, like, how are you feeling about this? And I was like, I'm actually kind of angry. I think I said it like that too. I was like, I'm kind of angry.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I would have liked to have known rather than kind of picking it up and being awkward and then figuring it out like before you told me. But you'd also had that scenario with me where we'd had the same situation where you were in the same room as someone and you had actually asked me, you were like, hey, can you please officially introduce me? Because you haven't introduced me. And so we've just had this really interesting thing where these funny little moments where we've had to like introduce people to other people that we've been with or introduce our partner to somebody else that we've been with. It's like, it is kind of like a funny scenario. It's a weird situation. But yeah, both of us in those positions have been like, I felt anger. I don't know how you felt. Did you experience anger?
No, like it was slightly different in my situation because I'd actually had little micro interactions, like we'd kind of said hi, we'd, you know, been around and kind of had talked a little bit, but without actually, like, I hadn't introduced myself because I'm like, I already know who you are.
Yeah, I think both of you knew who each other were. Yeah,
just a little bit of a standoff in that way that we'd kind of interacted and talked, but not actually, like, and it just felt at that point a little bit awkward to be like, yeah, by the way, hi.
By the way, hey.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think, and I think that's a good example of like you communicated, you were angry. Like I didn't like yell back and it's like, it is possible to do that. So I think that's, is there a good or bad feelings? No. Is there good or bad ways to express a feeling? Absolutely. Like, you know, we all, you know, I think everyone's seen unhealthy ways of expressing anger. And I think there's unhealthy ways of expressing insecurity or fear. And maybe that's what then is jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe jealousy is like that end of fear and insecurity, yeah, right? If it's on the spectrum, it's like, yeah, there's probably one end where you want to fucking put walls around someone and keep them and put them in a place where you can control everything. And you get really upset when they break those boundaries or your boundaries. And then the other end where it's like, hey, I can feel insecure, but you can do that.
Yeah,
I guess.
And so I think like to talk through like a more practical thing, I know we're talking kind of very theoretical, I suppose, like, you know, to talk through maybe that progression of us dating. Like, I think that the first time you went on a date with someone else when we first met, it was pretty early on. It was like, and I think at that stage, like I remember you telling me, and I still have the notes in my phone of like the things that I was feeling, because I felt super scared. Like it was like a bit of an overwhelming feeling at that point. Like I think I was just like, you know, I definitely had feelings for you. I was into you, and it was like then to
yeah,
have that,
you were
heaps. You had me. But you know, at that point, like, and I think that early on, A, like we were new. B, being open was obviously new alongside that. But I think at that point, you know, I was at my most fearful because it was like, I was still trying to figure out like, are you into me? What is this? Where are we going? Like, and so it's like, I think that risk or the perceived risk of like, oh shit, like someone could easily kind of throw this off its axis is super strong at the start. So yeah, for me, like I sat down and went, hey, like I forget what it's actually titled in my phone, but it's like, I think it's something like where is the unease coming from? I think was the top of the note in my phone. Mm. And I went through and kind of bullet pointed out like, okay, like it's this. What am I scared about?
It's like the what don't you want to feel? What's the emotion you're avoiding almost?
Yeah. And it was like, okay, like I had this feeling of unease. It wasn't jealousy. It wasn't like, and I think at that point, maybe I didn't relate it to like, I think the points that I maybe put under it were about being scared about this or feeling insecure about whatever. But it was really just a feeling of, yeah, like an unease about, oh, wow, you're going on a date with someone else. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? You know, that was that first time. So I think that was, you know, pretty strong feeling then. I think then, you know, we talked that the day before. I think you told me the day before your meeting with them. I think then overnight I slept on it or didn't sleep on it. And
I think I'd given you a couple of days notice. Maybe 2 days.
And then, so that, I think it was the day of, that's when I came back with like the list of stuff. And I said, hey, like, I'd really like to talk to you. And we went through the list of my questions and concerns. And I don't think it was really questions. It was just me really saying like, hey,
this is where I'm
feeling
at.
This yeah. is what's going on for me. This is what I'm feeling. And just being open about that. And I think that's the, you know, the vulnerability in that. Like, I got off the phone and I felt 1,000 times better. Like, we finished up saying, hey, have fun. I think it was like an hour or two before you were due to meet up with them. I'm like, hey, have a great night. And I got off the phone. It was just like a huge weight had been lifted off. Just being able to talk to you about what I was scared about, and you give me reassurances, and you know, I think you told me how much at that point I meant to you. And I think that was the first time that you'd actually said some of the things you'd said on that call.
Funnily enough, I think with that conversation actually became more serious.
Yeah.
Like, that was when we, because like we were reassuring each other about our feelings for each other to reassure you. Like, that was, that was their purpose. Yeah. And I remember saying a lot of things on that call that like, I think I'd been thinking, but obviously probably wouldn't have said out loud to you if it weren't for that situation. Like, you being like, hey, like, this is full on, this is scary, here's where I'm at. And I was like, okay, well, here's where I'm at. Like, this is how I feel about you.
Yeah, and I just that simple act of hearing that and having you say those things, it was like, okay, that takes a bunch of the pressure off. I was actually just looking at my phone at that note.
Mm.
I was just trying to think whether there was anything that was actually like fun to like.
I think what the interesting thing is that people talk about jealousy and like we mentioned, it's often the external events happening around them. And I think that with regards to dealing with jealousy, oftentimes people believe that it's like a, how do you deal with those external events and how do you talk about them and how do you work through them? But it's the actual event of like you seeing someone else or me seeing someone else is hardly what we talk about. We generally probably talk about that more afterwards, like after something's happened, if we have a debrief and we catch up and we're like, hey, how did it go, was it good, like what happened, and then we, you know, open the floor for questions. But prior to meeting someone, all of the conversations are actually around our relationship and the fears and insecurities that we have that are often more of a reflection of losing you or you like someone. Maybe the closest thing we would get to actually talking about the other person that you're seeing is perhaps, I know for me, a bit of comparison coming in and being like, oh, like I'm worried that she's going to be this and I'm worried that she's going to be that and she's going to be better and you're going to like that more, and those things come up. But otherwise, even that is still something that revolves around me and my feelings. It really has very little to do with the other person. It's constantly a reflection of myself. And that's what we end up talking about. We end up talking about us as individuals and how we're dealing with our feelings and what stuff's coming up for us. And then there are two things. One, reassurance, like you've mentioned. And if there's a need that we feel like we're almost describing and talking about our fears, where it's like, hey, if this has come up as a little red flag that I'm worried that you're going to spend more time with her, and you're like, no, like I'm going to spend time with you, like I've dedicated to spending this time with you, and don't worry, like nothing's going to change with that. So sometimes it's a little bit of like, if something comes up where perhaps I'm needing something. So I have another example. So I was talking to some guys that were very dominant and wanted to do like full-blown 24/7, like dom and almost borderline slave. And I just had a couple of conversations with these guys and I'd mentioned it to you and I was like, look, I'm kind of interested in some of this stuff and the kink thing is like really intriguing me at the moment. And I was just kind of having these weird random conversations that I don't think I was intending for them to go anywhere, but it was just really like, I was very curious and talking to some very interesting people. And I remember bringing that up to you. And what came out of that was really less of me talking to you about other people that I was talking about. And then and actually me talking to you about a need that I felt like I'd kind of discovered and been like, I think I need this. And like, can you provide that for me almost? And it wasn't actually me asking for that. It was you saying like, no, I think I can give that to you. Like, let us do this together. And that was a really cool turnaround with that, actually, that whole experience where it was like, we kind of talked about, I brought it up as me seeing someone else. And then you were like, hey, I think I recognize your need. I have that need as well. Can we do this together? Which was a really cool outcome, actually.
Yeah, well, I think like that example, definitely, like where there's, you know, I think some of those things, you know, it's like, yeah, cool, that sounds fun to explore. Like really early on, I remember we talked about making sure that when we're seeing other people, you know, and if it was coming from any kind of deficiency or need, making sure we talked about that first rather than just like going straight to outsource that to someone else, like going, hey, you know, so, and I think that was a perfect example of that where it sort of like, it opened up such a good conversation about that.
Yeah, hats off to you. I think you did really well with that. You're like, hey, P.S., I can do it.
but that came from a fear, like that. It was
like a follow up conversation as well. It wasn't the first conversation that we'd had. It was like kind of delayed where you came back, because it was a bit not tense, but it was a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, that
was, it was a little scary.
Oh, just that was like 3 minutes before I had to go to work. That was that day.
Oh yeah, that was that day.
So it was a little bit rushed, and then when I came back, then we had time to actually talk properly.
Oh yeah, but timing these conversations is
that's
a whole nother topic for a whole nother episode.
Definitely, but yeah, like I think you know, that is an example of like that, you know, just making sure that, hey, like, is there something you need? Is there something I need? And I think I did express some, maybe just, you know, maybe fear or just, like, hey, I'm not sure I'm completely comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Depending on how much you're willing to try to talk about.
So I can tell it, say it all.
Well, like, you know, so the people you're talking to were kind of making demands that would impact me and you and our time. And they wanted you to do things that would impact our time. And I kind of went, hey, like, I'm not really comfortable with that. I'm happy for things like, you know, when it's outside of our time, but someone else kind of making demands that impact us, like, no, I'm not completely comfortable with that. So I think, you know, through expressing like, hey, a discomfort or whatever, that then opened up the discussion to be like, where's this coming from? What's going on? How can we, you know, get what you need as well as, you know, yeah, some things that I needed as well. So, yeah. Okay. So, coming back to the question of, you know, if someone feels that straight away, you know, that first initial reaction of like, oh my God, I feel jealous. I think that for a lot of people, that is like a stop conversation. You know, a lot of the girls I talk to, they go, you know, they'll say, oh, I couldn't do it, I'd feel too jealous. Or even, you know, yeah. So I think that's quite often the thing. And it's like, I think if you take a growth mindset view of that and go, wait, why? Like, what is it that makes me, why am I feeling jealous? Or why do I think I would be too jealous? And I'll ask that of people sometimes and try and dig in with them. And they're usually conversations on Tinder or whatever that go nowhere. But it's like, I'm just intrigued to kind of get people to just
Greg, the
see
therapist.
The light. Yeah, Tinder therapist Greg. But yeah, like I think it's like, well, you know, ask yourself why you'd feel jealous. And I think for, you know, the person that asked this question saying, well, my husband said he'd get super jealous, like, hopefully you've got the kind of communication where you can say to him, hey, what is it that you're scared of? Relabel it, get away from the jealousy word, relabel it and say, hey, is there something you're scared of? Like, what would be the best, like worst case scenario that you're imagining in your head of if we do open up? If I go and see someone else, what is the worst case you're scared of? And get them to kind of talk about that. And if scared of, you know, it feels too big and scary, you know, what is it you're worried about happening? You know, oh, well, I'm worried that you'll like them more than me. Okay, well, what makes you think that I'd like them more than me? You know, to keep digging into those questions. Like, even if you don't end up opening up, like, that stuff, those questions and those conversations are super amazing to have with your partner to figure out, like, what are they worried about under the surface, you know? Are they worried about their ability to be a good partner to you? Are they worried about their looks? Are they worried about what they like in bed? You know, whatever the thing is under the surface, to be like,
it just exposes all of your, like, anything you have ever worried about once or twice. It's like, it will all come up, and it can be the tiniest thing. Like, And you really have to work through that. And I think what happens is, you know, you said, well, I'd be worried about you liking someone else more than me. And I think that's when you have to have this understanding of when you like someone else, does that mean that you have to like another person less? Like, is there only so much like to go around? Or is there only so much love to go around? Because I think that's the belief, right? Like, that's the accepted belief. And that's why the person in your primary relationship is, you know, people call them your significant other, because they're that significant person. And there's this hierarchy in your life of, like, you know, the person that's most important to you, your significant other, your partner. And I think that what people have happen in their brain is, it's like, well, you can't love one person a whole lot and love another person a whole lot. You just can't do that. You love one person the most and you don't love anybody else as much as that. But the reality is that there's no limit to the amount that we can love people. And this is where we use the friends analogy. You can have multiple best friends and you don't like any friend less than the other. There are just different types of people and different types of relationships. When I think of all of my different friends, I'm like, man, none of them are the same. And I love every single one of them for different reasons. And I get a lot of different things from them. And when you suddenly have that realization that that's the same thing in intimate relationships, where, yeah, there might be something different with the girls that you go on dates with and the girls that you see, but I know that I'm also something different. And there's no better or worse. There's no, like, there's no hierarchy around, like, love and feelings. It's just, there's just different people. It's all on the same even floor, you know? So I think that when people get to that point where they can reassure someone that you will still be important to them, it doesn't matter how important someone else might become. You are still significant in their life and you're important and you provide all these things. And I think sometimes the reassurance is like, I love this about you and I love these things about you. And I would never, I'm not looking to replace that. There might be something else that they provide me. It might be a connection or an experience that I do with them that maybe we don't do, but that's a good thing. We get to fulfill multiple needs with other people. Yeah, you're going to go.
Oh, like, yeah, I think with that, it's like, obviously that depends really heavily on what kind of open situation someone's looking for. You know, if it is just a occasional once-off hookup situation versus poly on the other end, when you're talking about love and emotions and all of that stuff, is obviously gets more complicated, I think. But yeah, like, I think that people just understanding, like, and I was going to say, like, I don't know whether you can kind of reassure away the external factors, that I think a lot of it is about, you know, because I think if you try and just go, oh, well, like, no, I'm not going to like them because, like, whatever that reason is, rather than like, hey, I'm so into you that isn't even a concern. Like, I'm super in love with you. And seeing other people, like, I think just reassuring someone of and giving them confidence in the connection you have. And that's where I think that asking about, like, what is the concern brings out that. Like, is someone feeling like the relationship is a little bit shaky, or there is a deficiency, there's something missing? And I think they're the interesting questions to dig into to kind of get to, like, where, like, because if you're worried about someone coming in so easily and just swooping in and taking your partner, if, like, you know, you're worried about your partner's going to spend a night with someone and they're going to blow their mind so much sexually that they're just going to leave you and come home and go, hey, that was fucking mind-blowing, I'm out of here. It's like, then you're either worried about your own sexual performance, or are you interesting enough in bed, or are you good enough in bed? And it's like, well, find that out about your partner. If they feel like that, being like, hey, well, let's... what else can we do to make you feel like you are delivering in that way? Or if it's like they don't, you know, if you're worried about, you know, you hear people talk about, well, you know, people worried about you developing an emotional connection. It's like, well, do you feel like you don't have a strong enough emotional connection with your partner and you don't have interesting conversations? So you're worried about them meeting someone else that all of a sudden they're going to have these mind-blowing, amazing conversations about. It's like, you know, if you are, when people ask me about it, I say, look, I feel so solid about me and you, the conversations we have. I just don't actually perceive this, you know, this risk that people think of, like, someone's just going to come along and I'm just going to, like, magically fall in love with them. It's like, I feel, yeah, super solid in us. And it's like, so that's not even really a factor.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
right? I think that's a really important thing to, I guess, communicate to everybody, is that the fears that I felt, I'll just speak on behalf of myself, the fears and the insecurities and the shit that I went through, and like the just the, even just when you were with someone, just like kind of the nerves that I would experience, that was so intense the first couple times. And now, like, we're over a year down the track, it's like, oh, okay, this is fine. This is actually really nice. Like, I'm just going to chill out on my own. I'm going to have a night where I just do whatever. Like, it's a totally different experience. And I know that the not the worst of the feelings, but the more intense heightened emotions were definitely experienced much early on. And I think, you know, of course, someone who's just opened up or they've just had thoughts about it and they're experimenting and they're like, well, just test the waters. Just know that the first time you put your toe in really cold water, it feels fucking freezing and you're going to be terrified. But once you get all the way in, you're knee deep and you stand in the water for a little while, you adjust. And then you go a little further, it's a little cold again, but you adjust, right? It's the same thing with our emotions and how we respond to these scenarios, because when they're new, they're terrifying. But when they're not new anymore, which happens after you repeat the same thing over and over again, because you're open, you practice doing the same thing. It's like then the novelty factor, when that wears off, the emotions that come with the uncertainty and the, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come out of this. I don't know if you're going to like them more or not. You know, it's like we've had this happen so many times now that I feel pretty sure that you're going to come back to me afterwards. And it's a really nice feeling, you know, it's like a really nice feeling. But I also have this deep internal security around that, which is bizarre because, you know, people use monogamy to create that, where they feel secure because they know you're not going to do anything because that's the rules of monogamy. Whereas now I know that you can go and see whoever you want and you do. And I have this really incredible sense of like, I know that I'm okay.
Yeah, and I think the monogamy thing, like, that's it's a funny, like, sense of, like, false security, I think, that people get around that. It's like, people say to me about this, is like, oh, what if they meet someone that they fall in love with? It's like, well, what if your partner meets someone they fall in love with when you're monogamous? Like, that can happen, you know, I always use the example of, like, the cute barista down the street. It's like, your partner could go and be getting their coffee every day from somewhere, develop this deep emotional connection to the barista down the street when you're monogamous, and you not even see it coming. So it's not that like open and non-monogamy automatically introduces this like brand new vector of like, holy shit, someone can steal your partner. And monogamy,
yeah, I mean, monogamy is not like this reflective shield that just blocks emotions.
Unless you're locking your partner in the basement.
I think monogamy is pretending that you don't desire or feel attracted to other people, right? You just don't even talk about it because it's not allowed.
Well, like, I think that this is one of the really interesting things about being open. It's like, if I went down the street to the cafe and there was a cute barista that I got chatting to, like, I would come back to you and say, hey, I went and got a coffee. The barista was really cute and we just got flirting. Like, you would know about it straight away. And I think that's the thing of like, you know, there is this perceived security that comes with monogamy that I don't think is real. And I think this is why like people have this like, oh my God, what if someone just like falls in love magically? Or, you know, you hear all the time about people, you know, cheating and all of a sudden, you know, coming home and say, hey, sorry, I'm leaving. Like, I've fallen in love with the barista. It's like those things happen all the time and it's super common, but I think it's almost like it happens in the shadows a little bit more. And I think this is where if you can embrace the conversations and the, you know, dipping your toe in the cold water slowly with open, like it can actually be almost a more secure feeling, which I think for some people is quite a bizarre concept to say, I actually feel more secure in this non-monogamous relationship than I ever have in any monogamous relationships. Because I think we mentioned in maybe episode one, it's like, you know, if your phone goes off, I'm not going to go, I wonder who that is. Like, who's that name? Like, I've never heard her mention that name before. I wonder who that is. It's like, it's just everything's out in the open. And I think that's where, you know, comes with it is all of those things are in the open as long as you can talk about it and say, hey, you can ask all the questions. It should be a complete open door as such about this is how I'm feeling. But that with being able to ask those questions, you need to be able to have the ability to answer those questions as well. and not only ask vulnerable questions, but also answer in a vulnerable way as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like learning to feel comfortable in uncertainty is the greatest form of, like, it's like, I guess it's just like almost a metaphor for life. It's like the ultimate form of certainty is being okay with uncertainty.
There is a saying about this. The only certain thing in life is change or something like that. It is, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're going with that.
But yeah, so I think that, like, I think that's kind of the key behind all this is just get comfortable with being uncomfortable about the fact of, like, you're going to get scared about being open. You're going to feel insecure, but practice that muscle with your partner. Even if you don't end up even opening up, being able to have those conversations and check in on your relationship. Like, you get questions all the time where people are like, hey, about sex toys or about whatever. I'm like, how do I talk to my partner about this? Because when every time I bring it up, they feel insecure. It's like, well, dig deeper into those things, and you should be able to have those things about, hey, like, what are you most scared about? What are your biggest fears about us as a couple? Like, you know, I think one of the questions in the question decks we've done is like, or maybe we just talked about it, is like, what would it be that if we broke up over something, like, what do we see that would be? Like, talk about the worst case of some of this stuff to be like, hey, let's play out like some of the bad scenarios. But
yeah, I think that's it, right? Don't be afraid of talking about the bad stuff. And don't be afraid of talking about the bad emotions, quote unquote, the bad emotions. And yeah, I think, you know, the whole thing with jealousy, it's like, my partner got jealous. Is that a sign that it's not okay? And it's like, well, okay, first of all, talk about it and talk about it as you go. And maybe there, it means you need to slow down, but I don't think it's either you do it or you don't. It's not as black and white as that. There's so much more gray area that you can play with. So it can be like, hey, we're going to try just talking to other people online and talking about our experience with that and chatting and asking questions about who your partner is talking to. Like, that might be step one. And then it could be like, step two, we're going to go out to coffee with someone, and that's it. Nothing else happens. It's just coffee, a walk, whatever. It's like, that could be part of dipping your toe in the water and then talking about it and expressing the feelings of fear or insecurities or jealousy and like whatever comes up and being like, hey, like, this is where I'm at right now. And then learning how to give your partner what they need to not necessarily stop those feelings, because you're not. That's the other thing. You're not going to stop the jealousy or the fear or the insecurity. It's actually about learning to be okay with those feelings, right? Sit with the uncertainty and let them do what they want to do and have the things that they're interested in and the people they're talking to. Let them meet those needs, right? And I think that's the sort of steps that you've got to take to kind of get to that point, get to being open. It's like, talk about the jealousy, understand what jealousy means to you, or understand what the fears and the insecurities are. It doesn't have to be straight into the deep end. It doesn't have to be all the way into the cold water. It's like, hey, just do it slowly. And like you said, just talk about it as you go. Like, talk the whole time. That's what I think comes up for a lot of people that I've spoken to. It's like, it's not the experience of seeing other people while you get to be with your partner. It's the conversations and the connection that you gain with your partner from trusting each other so much, I guess, trusting each other with this thing that you're doing and going through it together and I guess almost struggling together to a degree, right?
Yeah. Well, the Gottman, some of the Gottman stuff they talk about is like that the growth as a couple actually comes from being vulnerable with each other. Like, and that's how you build trust with people, and all of those things comes from vulnerability. It's like you give a little bit of vulnerability, the other person gives vulnerability, and it's this trade-off, and that's how you bond with someone. Is, and I think through this stuff, like if you take the really like growth-minded sort of abundance mindset to your relationship, that's where you'll find this stuff to be like, hey, look, we're going to do this thing for life. If you're scared about it, so let's work through it. Tell me, like, you know, and have that trade-off where you talk about your fears. And I think what you're saying is about that kind of go slowly into this is you end up doing that kind of by default anyway, because it's like you talk about, you have the conversation about, hey, are we, you know, maybe let's start dating other people or let's start talking to other people. So you then have almost the conversation comes in stages where it's like, you know, naturally you end up having the conversation before you decide to activate Tinder. And then it's like, you know, as long as you're having those conversations along the way, like we do, where, you know, you have a conversation, be like, hey, have you matched with anyone interesting yet? Or, you know, then once you match with someone, hey, like, how's the conversation with person X going? Oh yeah, we've been chatting. How do you feel about that? Is there anything coming up for you? Do you have any fears? What are you worried about? It's like, keep having those conversations constantly, consistently. Talk through the whole process, because then the progression is, hey, yeah, we're really getting along. Once you deal with those conversations, I might actually go and meet with this person. And then you have the conversations around that, and different conversations and different fears will come up at different stages through that process, all the way up to the one where, hey, yeah, you end up sleeping with someone else if you progress through the other stage gates that lead to that. But the conversations you even have through that process will be super valuable for your relationship, even if it doesn't progress past the next stage. I think people are just afraid of having those hard conversations, and because of their fears, they, instead of facing some of that, it's easier just to go, oh no, that's too difficult.
And I don't think it's like a deliberate, like, I'm going to choose not to face that because I don't like that. I think it's just a very natural response to those feelings or to jealousy or to those fears. It's like, oh, well, that brings up that feeling, so I'm just not going to do that. That doesn't feel like a safe space to me. So I don't think it's that people are deliberately like, I'm not going to confront that fear. I think it's that people haven't actually even got to the point where they're aware that there's a fear there and that there's something that they could actually choose to do that would almost to a degree, I think, undermine that fear, but to work through the fear as opposed to be like, oh no, that's something that I'm not really cool with. And not to mention, it's a little bit outside the mainstream fucking style of relationships. But yeah. And here's the other thing, you know, we had a question from someone that was like, hey, how do I reassure my partner that I'm not going to fall in love with someone else? And I think the example that you gave of like, if you're in a monogamous relationship and someone is starting to fall in love with someone else, you don't even know those steps that happen along the way. So all you get is when it's too late, right? Like they've developed an emotional connection and maybe something's happened or maybe something hasn't happened, but they've gotten to the point where it's significant enough that the person is going to leave their partner for the other person. And that's when it's like, oh, people just fall in love and leave their partners. But what you just spoke about, where it's like you have this process and it's talking to people, meeting them, coffee, walk, and then maybe a dinner, and then all these other things. It's like it can be weeks. When you're having those conversations, you realize that falling in love is not an overnight thing. I think that's this myth that we have around love, and falling in love is so easy to do. And you know, I will say maybe that's you and I. You know, maybe you and I don't feel those feelings in the same way that perhaps other people experience them. But I definitely think that when you have all these steps where you're talking about it the whole way, it's pretty hard to suddenly have these big feelings with the L word pop up without having discussed it. Right? So it's like, for anybody who's like, oh, well, how do I tell my partner that I'm not going to just fall in love? It's like, well, because you're going to be talking about the other people that you're talking to or going on dates with or sleeping with the whole time. It's not like you're going to suddenly get to a point where you really like them and then you talk to your partner about it. You're talking to them when it's just a little conversation on Tinder. And I'm telling you, you're not going to fall in love with them by a conversation on Tinder. You're probably not going to fall in love with them if you go and have a walk out in the park or by the beach. Like, you're probably not going to be in love with them for a little while. So, like, just the practicality of that. It's like, if you can lay that out for your partner, it's like the practicality of falling in love is actually a much longer process than what we have in our brains. And I think if you have those step-by-step, like, that step-by-step process and the conversations that come with that, I think you can certainly help people understand, like, it's not a leap. It's not a big leap from, like, you talk to someone and then you fall in love with them. There's a lot of steps that you take along the way.
Yeah, so there's two things I just thought of that. I think there's the part where the temptation factor in those scenarios, I think, is huge as far as the wonder of it, is the grass greener, and how toxic and poisonous that can actually be in your brain, where it's like the forbidden fruit.
You know, right, where, and are you talking about monogamy?
Yeah, so if you're in a monogamous relationship and you flirt with the cute barista down the road.
That damn cute barista. She's
getting so much. He or she or other is getting so much.
We need a new person. We need to be like... oh, the next door neighbor, or like.
All right. Well, the neighbor then. you know, like with the that postman. Scenario, it's like you've thrown off my train of thought now.
you were talking about the grass is greener,
and it's like, you know, you have that like, ooh, like you have a bit of a flirt with someone. You know, you check them out, and they look kind of good. You're like, I wonder what they'd look like naked. You start having those little thoughts in your brain. It's like, I can tell you that, like, that can be quite, I think it can be a bit of a toxic thing once that gets in, where you're thinking about it. I think the other part that I'll jump to in a minute is, like, how your relationship is. So, if you're already in a relationship that things aren't going well, like, I think I've said to you before, like, how many people have cheated or you know, seen someone else like that? When they're 100% on their relationship.
When their relationship is fucking awesome. Yeah.
You know, and this comes back to like Esther Perel's, the way she approaches talking about infidelity is, you know, that the TED Talk she talks about is like, it's really, you know, if we expect our partner to be these like 10 different things, it's, you know, they're our lover, they're the person we talk to about our finances, they're the person we expect to make us laugh, like all of those things. It's like, so the person in front of you is like this composite of all of these amazing things that you want in a partner. It's like infidelity, the way Esther explains it, is really that one of those things or one or multiple parts of that thing that your needs in a partner, you're not getting at the moment. So it's like if you're not getting one of those components, then you then come across this person, next door neighbor, that like, and it's a combination of those things that then leads to the, well, you can't even go on a date with them. You can't even just go for a walk with the sexy neighbor. And because look, 9 out of 10 times you might go for a walk with the sexy neighbor and go, okay, they're just another neighbor. They're just like the rest of the neighbors. And there'd be nothing there. But I think in monogamy, that temptation of the forbidden fruit, there's so much like build up and can be quite a lot of sexual energy build up, you know, in those experiences. And then it's like, then there's that moment where someone crosses that line.
It is exciting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely. Like, it's like, because you can't, it's like, well, you shouldn't even be talking to them. And like I said, that comes with a combination of some dissatisfaction in a relationship, as well as the thing that you can't touch, where it's like the temptation's kind of there. You know, you shouldn't be kind of crossing this line because of this, the rules of monogamy around it, where it's like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And cheating, for the people that do then commit, you know, infidelity, cheating, whatever you want to call it, it is that little moment where you cross that line and it's like, oh, fuck, shouldn't have done, like, you know, that was the wrong thing. In non-monogamy, it's like you can taste all the apples and there's no forbidden fruit as such, as long as you stick within the rules of your relationship. And it's like, so you can go for a walk with the neighbor. You can go grab a coffee. You can sleep with them, and you might sleep with them and go, well, it actually wasn't that wonderful. Cool.
A lot of the excitement about someone else is often, yeah, that desire to do something and you're not allowed to do it. You're limited, you're restricted.
So an example, and people listening will often, like, they'll get to know that I'll refer to a lot of different podcasts when I talk about stuff. I listen to a heap of different podcasts. A guy called Mike Bledsoe, I think his podcast is now called The Strong Coach. It used to be called something else. I remember him talking about, so him and his now ex-wife, they opened up their marriage. They ended up opening up through both discovering, I think from memory, they were both actually cheating on each other. So Mike was traveling a lot. And one thing he talked about, and I didn't actually really understand at the time, that was before me and you had met, this was years ago, that he said that when he was cheating on Ashley's wife, like really often, he was traveling all the time, and that was what led to them kind of ending up falling apart and cheating on each other. He said that every time he was away on a trip, he'd end up hooking up with someone. And he said when they actually then ended up opening up, it was like once a year, you know, that he'd meet someone, that he'd find a spark with. He's like, oh, you're really cool, let's hook up or let's go on a date, versus that when he was doing the naughty thing of the, like, I shouldn't be allowed to do this. And he talked about it on this podcast I listened to, where it was just such a different experience, where that naughty, I'm not meant to be doing this thing went away.
The desire.
Yeah. And it completely changed that, yeah, the desire for him. And I think that's a, you know, then to talk about that, you know, do you just have these like fall in love kind of experience is it's like, I think that it needs that combination of dissatisfied in your current relationship, which if you're dissatisfied in your current relationship, you shouldn't be opening up or you shouldn't be open. Deal with that first. So I think like making sure that your relationship is solid. And if the relationship's solid, then you know, you don't have that like temptation-y kind of, I shouldn't be allowed to do this feeling. I just think that the chances of those spontaneous combustion, falling in love, I don't think it actually will happen in most cases. If the relationship is healthy, you're talking often, you're talking, you know, after each date, all of those things, you're both expressing fears and vulnerabilities to say, hey, like, you've been on a date with this person twice now, like, is there something more developing there, or, you know, talking about that stuff through. So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's not...
It's not a reality. It's not something it's just a fear, really, is what it comes down to. It's another fear, and I think a lot of our fears revolve around our imagination and what could happen, which is just suffering because of our imagination completely, you know? You just looked so excited then.
I just remember before where I was actually going with one of my points, but I think I got distracted. I think the perception that people have about this kind of spontaneous falling in love thing is actually because of cheating in monogamous relationships.
Yeah, I think that's what we got to on our previous podcast as well.
Maybe, yeah, okay.
Maybe the first one.
Yeah, well, it's that thing where people go, all people see of the, you know, infidelity experience is that stuff's been going on behind the scenes.
The person doing it
doesn't end up then telling their partner until all of this, the 90% of what happens behind the scenes. And then they're like, oh, this is better than what I currently have. Yeah. So I'm out of here. So then people see like, oh, they cheated and then they fell in love with this person and now they're in a relationship with it. Mm. It's like, but the fact is there's so much more underlying that.
There's a really cool statistic I've seen somewhere of the number of men that leave their partners, their wives, for other women. Mm. And it's not as simple as that. It's more about the catalyst that a man requires to leave their partner is another woman. Mm. Otherwise, they'll just stay there. And I think it's different for women. I think less women leave their husband for another person, another man, another woman, whatever it is. Mm. But I think there's some really interesting statistic around like people will stay in shitty relationships for a long time. Mm. And it's not until you meet someone else and all those things suddenly happen and they all compound on one another, like you've been talking about. And they are the catalyst for leaving, but they're not necessarily the cause of the problems in the relationship, right? It's just that they're the catalyst for someone to be like, okay, I'm out. I'm like, here's my perfect reason to leave. Now I found someone else that I'm madly in love with and I'm gone. I'm peace out. Like, goodbye.
And that's why I think Esther's work on infidelity, that's why she's so well known for all that. And it's why it's her biggest piece of work, I think, so far, is the way that she breaks that down to say like, you know, there's all these things you want in a partner, like I said before, and it's like, so someone can be feeling like some of those things are missing. So let's say it's 10. If 3 of the 10 things are missing, they will stay with someone that they're still getting 7 out of 10 of the things. But, then it's like they meet someone that then they're like, oh, well, this person gives me 10 out of 10 of those or 7 out of 10 of these things. And that's when that diversion kind of happens. But I think people will hang around with someone that not all their needs are being met. Some or most of them are being met. They will stay with them in those scenarios, I think, sometimes, like, and not address, hey, like, I'm not getting these things from this. Like, the people just don't have those conversations, I don't think.
Mm.
Yeah. Did we answer the question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to go back to it. So, yeah, I think the question was really like, is jealousy, does jealousy mean that it's not okay? And how do I tell my partner that I'm not going to run away and fall in love? Yeah, it's been an interesting ride for sure. Like the fear, the insecurities, like, and I think they still come up, like they never go away. And I think that's a really big part of it. It's like you actually learn to embrace them as just part of your humanity. Mm. And it's just kind of our state of being. I don't think there's a way to avoid it. There's just different ways to kind of maybe ignore it or shelve it or not have to look at it very often. And I think you and I look at it pretty regularly. Mm. And we have to talk about it. And funnily enough, talking about it and putting it out into the world does take it out of our brains and makes it not so big and scary, you know. I think it's the same thing with regards to talking about the future. The future hasn't happened. It exists in our imagination. And it's not to say that things won't happen and that's not real and that your feelings are bullshit. Mm. That's still very much true in feelings that you're experiencing. But I think if you let that determine the decisions that you make today based on the fear of the worst case scenario or a bad version of the future that exists in your imagination, I think that's where people wind up in relationships that they're not particularly happy in, or they're not getting what they want, or whether they're open or not open, you know, monogamous or non-monogamous. And it can happen in non-monogamous relationships as well, for sure. Like, we're all just humans. It's not like a style of relationship is better than another. It's just different and we all fuck it up somehow. Like, we'll find a way. So, yeah, it's fucking been a real learning curve about myself, you know. And I think even about you, like, it's helped me learn a lot about you. Which is really cool. Like, I think something that I really enjoyed was having conversations that were just conversations I've never had before, ever. I've never had them with a partner before. I've never had them with friends before. It was like, we were talking about things that were like, I guess things that were always internal, you know, like fears and things that you would experience, but you would never articulate. You'd never verbalize them. You'd never put words to them. You know, it's like that. It's almost like fears that never had a face. They're always there under the surface and you're always a little bit scared, but you could find ways to feel safe. And either that's putting a label on a relationship and asking like, hey, is this a thing? Like, is this serious? Is this going somewhere? Do you want to be exclusive? Whatever it was. Or the opposite, which is just avoiding relationships full stop. You know, like, I think I did that for a long time. Like, I was single for a really long time because it was just the ultimate form of avoidance. And so now it's like, hey, I'm actually sitting in the middle of all that uncertainty and all that fear and all those insecurities, and I'm just talking about them. And it doesn't mean that I don't experience them, but it means that I can see the face. I can see that fierce face. And it's like, you know what? It's actually not as scary as I made it out to be when I couldn't see it, right? We just make everything so much worse in our imagination.
Yeah, look, I think that totally agree. And I think maybe just as a closing thing from me, like, it's taking a growth-minded approach to yourself and committing to someone else of like, hey, we're on this ride together. Like, this is going to be, there's going to be difficult shit that comes up. And if you commit to taking on that challenge together and knowing that it's growth individually and growth as a couple together, you know, I think that's what it is. Like, you know, I think that's the opportunity here for people is to say, hey, I want to try and grow. Like, I want to, you know, if we're going to do this thing for however many years we're strapped into the rest of life, it's like, you know, I want to grow as a person and I want to try and figure out, like, I want to figure out my insecurities. I want to figure out my fears about myself. And it's like, I want to do that with you. And it's like, that's for me what a relationship really is. It's like, hey, like, we can facilitate personal growth together. And in the process, grow an incredible, amazing bond together. And I think that, you know, going through these experiences, it's like, you can only do that side by side with someone in a way, like what we're doing. It's like, you know, so yeah, I think that for people that are interested in growing and, you know, want to commit to growing with a partner, it's a cool thing to experience. You know, does that, yes, there will be challenge, but ultimately I think, look, I've said to you, like, I thought that being open would be a much more self-serving path and a thing that was much more like for me or like, you know, that was maybe my perception, but I think it's done incredible things for us as a couple and how close I feel to you over and above, you know, any personal benefit. So
yeah, I guess the alternative is if you don't have the conversation, I guess you stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, not having the conversation is just, yeah, you don't go anywhere. The alternative is that you continue to do what you're currently doing. And it might not be bad, but you'll never know. Like, you'll never find that out.
Yeah.
I think we're done. Is there anything else that we need to add on jealousy?
I think we killed it.
Yeah. Jealousy is such an interesting thing.
Anger, fear, insecurity.
I do love the idea of, like, it's an umbrella term. Like, it is an umbrella term. And it's like a, yeah, I guess it's like, it's the, it's the red flag, but there's a whole lot of stuff under it that you gotta dig in to find out.
Dig deeper.
Dig real deep. All right. We're gonna land this plane.
We're gonna land the plane.
Is there another phrase to say that? We're gonna park this car.
We can
park. We're gonna dock this boat.
All right. We're done. Thanks, everyone.